we would be able to uncover that, Lord. Everything that we have need of in your precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to be going through verses 8 through 17 tonight, so let's start there. Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. Some of you might wonder why I stop in there, because in my Bible, that's where it says to stop. No, I'm kidding. I have highlights in there. Give me paragraphs, and I love it. But beginning in verse 8, and then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. And thus I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. In verse 17, and God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. So many, many times there are the words over and over again. As a matter of fact, in those 10 verses, the name God, or when he uses me or I or mine, is 21 times in those 10 verses. So obviously we know who God is referring to in this, right? We're not confused. If you recall last week, we discussed the issue of capital punishment as well as God's covenant with Noah. Throughout all history, we have to remember that God has a plan for his people. And when his people refused or rebelled, he continued with his plan. And what is rebellion? I love what one writer says. It's when it comes to our relation, or rebellion, when it comes to our relation with God, is reserving for myself the right to make final decision. That's what rebellion is. When I say no, okay, God, and sometimes we'll ask God, what do you want me to do? But ultimately, this is what I want to do. So that's rebelling against God. If you're taking notes, Isaiah 65:2, and I found it interesting when I read this, Isaiah 65:2 says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. That's what this world is doing today. As a matter of fact, that's what was happening before the flood. God stretching out his hands all day long to a rebellious people. Can you imagine if our kids all day long, they were just rebellious? And that would like wear you out, wouldn't it? But all day long, and he says, they walk in a way that's not good. And so when we rebel against the things of God, and of course, the flood was that way, but God, in his mercy and in grace, he dealt with the rebellious people who only wanted to do what they wanted to do. He let them go their way, see? And now he brings Noah and his family to a place of new beginnings and a new earth, by the way, that is void of the corruption. Can you imagine? It's all, we're going to start new again, okay? We talked about that last week. He said there's not going to be any murder. If you murder someone, you got to give your life. If an animal kills someone, that animal has to die. But he makes a covenant with them, and he tells them, this is how you are to live. And we went over that. But not only that, he tells them, be fruitful and multiply. And if we look at, again at verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Again, It's God who is doing the talking here. And he says it is him who is establishing the covenant. And notice that they had no say in it whatsoever. They couldn't say, well, we'll do this if you do that. God says, this is what I want you to do. Because God's covenant with his people is not dependent on what we do. Let's say that again. His covenant with us is not dependent on what we do. It is solely in what he is doing. He said, behold, I establish my covenant with you. He's the one who's doing it. And I shared last week the difference between a covenant and a contract, so I won't belabor it, but you can check it out online of what the due differences are. But his covenant he's making with them, it won't be just for them, but it says, you and with your descendants after you. See, it doesn't end with just them, okay? Verse 10, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, all of that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. So God's covenant is with all of his creation. Everything that he has created is bound by his covenant. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is. It's bound by his covenant. Look at verse 11. He goes on, thus I establish my covenant with you. And never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, this is really significant because how could Noah and his descendants not fear that he would do it again? I talked about that last week. You picture them, they're coming off the ark, and it tells us that Noah built an altar to the Lord. But what must have happened every time the clouds came again? Must be thinking, oh, man. I think God in his infinite wisdom had to have realized that I don't want man to live in fear of what I can and can't do. I want him to be in reverence of the things that I can do. So every time the clouds came, what would happen to them? You know, they'd freak out. Today, it's cloudy for us 5-6 months out of the year. What happens to people's psyche? We start going a little batty, right? We get stir crazy. I need to see the sunshine. I need to know it's still there. So clouds can have an effect on people, but obviously this would wreak havoc on their psyche, just like COVID is doing today, is it not? We talked about that while we were eating. Fear has overtaken the world, and it's getting to people. People are looking for answers and for comfort, and God is telling them, Noah and his folks, I won't do this again. But how many of us know that God is still in control of our circumstances, even though they don't make sense to us? Sometimes we lose sight of that. Lord, what's going on here? And it's apparent that it was that way then. But how do we have assurance of that today? How do we have assurance that God is in control of those things? Well, I'm glad you asked, because verse 12 tells us, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. What does that mean? You and I, our generation as well. Perpetual, it just keeps going on and on. And he says, I'm making a covenant for all generations that this is not going to happen. But he's made a covenant with Noah and all future generations. And I love the fact that God put that in there, because we can look at that and miss it without realizing, you know what? His covenant is to me too. The rainbow, of course, none of us freak out when we've seen floods on TV, but you guys had a flood here in, what was it? 64. See how people remember? 1964. This place was underwater, especially Sheridan, right? If I'm not mistaken, it was really messed up. But God makes this covenant with Noah and all the generations. And notice again, this covenant is not based on anything other than God himself. He doesn't say, if you do this, I will keep that from happening. He just makes the covenant. He says, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you. And God, in his infinite wisdom, in his unending mercy and grace, he makes a covenant with all mankind, never to flood the earth again. Okay? And if you ask me, this is a very note-telling way that he does it. How does he do it? He does it by mixing light and water together. Look at verse 13. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Creator God, covenant-making God, gives his sign of promise. And a couple things I want to point out in this verse before we go much further. First, when we see the rainbow, we're so happy because we see rainbows today, right? Matter of fact, Linda calls this place the land of rainbows and Christmas trees. That's the way she describes it. Because we always get those rainbows. But God tells them, I set my rainbow. It reminds me of the illustration that I shared a few weeks ago. And it fits in this, you know, when God says this is mine. By the way, the rainbow belongs to him. It doesn't belong to anybody else. Because he said, I set my rainbow, right? He created it. Belongs to him. But it reminds me of the story of a scientist who approaches God and he says to him, God, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing. We can do it. And what you did in the beginning. And, oh, is that so? Replies God. Yes, says the scientist. We can take dirt and form it into a human likeness and breathe life into it, thus creating man. Well, that's very interesting. God said, show me. So the scientist reaches down, grabs a handful of dirt, and starts to mold the soil into the shape of a man. And no, 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 God says, get your own dirt. Even the dirt, as well as the rainbow, belongs to God. And like the scientists, man can say anything they want to, but ultimately it's his. I don't care what entity wants to claim it, although I haven't seen anybody run on going, we're dirt, right? We even got a dirt flag. It's like, no. The next thing I want to point out is what was the sign of the rainbow of covenant too? The end of the verse states, it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth.
That's interesting.
We look at that and say, well, God gave it to me. It's for the earth, for everything in the earth and the earth itself. Every time we see a rainbow, we should remember the faithfulness of God in every one of his promises. We will go to bitter ends, though, and just like, oh, look at that. Oh, there's another one, especially around here. Oh, there's one there. There's one there. Look at this one over here. It's like they're all around us. As a matter of fact, he even says his covenant of peace with us is just as sure as his covenant with Noah and all the generations. We have a covenant of peace with God. Danny has that in Isaiah 54. Listen to what it says.
For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you.
Amen. Is that something? That's a promise. That's a covenant of a promise of peace for us. So when you're feeling like things are just getting out of control, hang on to that. Look to that. But God, he promises to all mankind, it should never be taken for granted. But we do take it for granted. We do just kind of nonchalantly, oh, there's another rainbow. How many times have we just sat there and just started praying? Saying, God, you are infinite. You are mighty. You are holy. While we're talking, God, I'll just talk to you about my problems. God, I want to just pray. Or maybe pray for someone else. But we look at them because maybe you don't. But we take them for granted. And one indication is when you Google what causes a rainbow, this is what you get. When sunlight hits a rain droplet, some of the light is reflected. The electromagnetic spectrum is made of light with many different wavelengths, and each is reflected at a different angle. Thus, spectrum is separated, producing a rainbow. Or, rainbows are formed when the light from the sun is scattered by water droplets, i.e., raindrops or fog, through a process called refraction. Refraction occurs when the light from the sun changes directions when passing through a medium denser than air, such as a raindrop. Man, in his effort to figure out everything out, totally dismisses the beauty of the promise that God has given us. because we know what causes a rainbow. Look at verse 14. What causes a rainbow? It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the clouds. That's pretty simple to me, right?
Yeah.
What causes it? God does. I was kind of messing with my head a little bit. I go, man, yesterday my sister was posting on Facebook. They're just going crazy because it rained in Fresno yesterday. And they're losing their minds. Oh, how precious. I'm thinking, you guys, God hasn't brought a cloud to you lately, has he? I wonder why. So in reality, it's not what, but who causes the rainbow. God mixes the light from the sun and the dark from the clouds to produce it. It's God who does it. And it's interesting, if you think about this for a moment, he uses water to give us a sign that never again will he flood the earth. That's amazing. It's God's rainbow. One writer says, for the laws of nature are ordained by God and have their ultimate ground and purpose in the divine plan of the universe, which links together both nature and grace. Springing as it does from the effect of the sun upon the dark mass of clouds, it typifies the readiness of the heavenly to pervade the earthly, spread out as it is between heaven and earth. It proclaims peace between God and man. And while spanning the whole horizon, it teaches the all-embracing universality of the covenant of grace. The rainbow is seen from heaven and earth. It's in between the two. And God says, I'm going to give you this as a reminder. And I'm going to remember why I gave it to you. Not that God would forget, but one can see the same covenant in the cross of Jesus. How so, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. That never again will man be condemned for past sins. That's the covenant he's given us on the cross. Jesus dying on that cross. How do I know that? Because of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A promise, a covenant from God to you and me today, he is faithful and just. All we have to do is confess it. Lord, I've sinned. And God's saying, yeah, I'm glad we agree, Al, because I was wondering when you were going to figure that out, okay? But God, who cannot forget, but will always remember and say to us in verse 15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now, with that, Noah can rest from any apprehension, if in fact that it could ever happen again. Think about that. And I find it weird that God would use that, because in order for him to do that, and we're going to see as we close, he had to give him an illustration or a visual of what he was talking about. We'll get to more of that in a minute. But Noah is not going to have to be apprehensive about this anymore. Think about that for a moment. We don't think about that. He's been on this boat for about 377 days. And God's going to make a covenant with him now. If it had been me, I'm like, God, the moment I got off this boat, I made an altar to you. Why are you going to do this? Don't bring no more clouds. I would say that whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we can rest in the promises that God has given us through his word. And the way that we know these promises is by looking into them. Amen? We have to look into here to see what his promises are. And the next time you see a rainbow, think first of his promise. Especially if you're going through a really hard time. Lord, you made a promise in here that you never leave me or forsake me. Because when we're feeling alone, that's the first thing we do. Lord, I'm all by myself. He's like, no, you're not. I don't know about you guys, but it's for me, it's like, oh, stop whining. You're not by yourself. Seriously, I'm here. I told you I never leave you or forsake. But God, I'm all by myself. You're not. Stop it. That same God, by the way, will keep his promise to provide all of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. In Linda's medical thing with Samaritan's Ministry, we fill out little notes to the people that we're sending the health payment to. And it's so neat to do that personally, because you're not sending it to a corporation. You're sending a check to the person that it is, well, how would you say that, that it's entitled to for their medical need. And so we write them a note. And it's so neat to say, we're praying for your surgery, praying for, you know, your circumstance, whatever it is. And then I always put this scripture in there. God is the one who supplies your need. It isn't us or anybody else. God is the one who does it. All of your needs, whether it's emotional or financial or spiritual or whatever it is, He'll supply all of your need. And this past week, I was dealing with a lot of pain in my legs and my hip and my arm, my feet, and the feeling of God of, where are you in this? What's going on here? This is, I'm starting all over again. And it started to come, and as fast as it did, I was reminded of the cross and the pain that Jesus no doubt experienced when he was on that cross. And the Lord just really reminded me that my pain was nothing compared to what he had gone through for me. And that if I have to carry on with this, and then you see something on TV, you see these veterans who are coming back without limbs and they're entering races and running with, you know, metal feet. And you're like, all of a sudden, I mean, it didn't make the pain go away, but it puts it in perspective, you know. But hearing of the pain that Fred was going through. And then I began, because of COVID, and I was reminded, Lord, thank you. How blessed I am that it hasn't hit our home, you know. And thank you for that, Lord. And you just put everything back in perspective. And I see the promise that God had in there. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Even in your pain, I'm not going to be without, or you're not going to be without me. But he made a promise to you and me that he will, whatever it is that you have need of, he's the one who's doing it. He's going to do it for you. Look at verse 16. He says, the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth. Translated, God binds himself by his covenant, and he lays down the terms of his relationship to man. He's the one who's making it. He binds himself to it, and then we have something that we do as a result of that. But if you look at the verses, he says, I myself do establish my covenant in verse 9. And I establish my covenant with you, verse 11. This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you, verse 12. My bow or rainbow shall be a sign of a covenant, verse 13. I will remember my covenant, verse 15. I will look upon it, the rainbow, to remember the everlasting covenant. Verse 16. We'll get to verse 17. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh. Do you get the feeling that it is God who is doing everything, and all he's telling us, all you got to do is walk in it. Walk in the promise. And I love what one writer says about this. He says, over and over, God drives home the point so that Noah can be assured, not based on his feelings, but on God's sure word. And yet God wanted Noah to get beyond the intellectual level to the feeling level so that based on his faith, Noah would know in his heart that God's judgment was passed. I like that. Noah got to the point where he realized, you know what? I have faith in this God, and God says, I'm making a promise with you. I will not flood the earth anymore. Because I don't know about you, at 600 plus years old, a little bit too old to be building another ark. And what's he going to do now? He's already seen the worst catastrophe he's ever seen in his life. See, we will go through that and read that, though, and not really put ourselves in Noah's place. What was that like? Did he see all the flesh that was floating around? Did he smell it? What was it like? It had to be catastrophic. But for you and I, God wants us to know that we have eternal life if we have believed in Christ. That is our covenant. Jesus said, a new covenant I'm making with you, the covenant of his blood. And all we had to do was to receive what he did. I'm going to the cross. That's amazing to me, because he did it the night before. He told him, look, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And he holds up the glass of wine, the chalice. This is my blood that's going to be poured out for you. And as much as you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me. They had no idea what he was talking about, but yet he did. See, it's not based on our feelings, just like Noah, but on the sure word of God. How do I know that? John 10, tells us that, 27 through 30. Lorelai has that.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Isn't that awesome?
It is.
What a sure word of the Lord. They belong to me. God is telling Noah, you belong to me. All of these critters that we saved, they belong to me. And I will never flood this place again. And I'm giving you my word for that. And I don't want to close with verse 17. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I will establish between me and all the flesh that is on the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but reading this, you can be so just nonchalant. But I love reading all the different commentaries and some of the things that some of the guys have written. There was one theologian who said, it was like God was just speaking to Noah and his sons and telling them all that he was going to do. And then all of a sudden, the clouds appear. Fearfully, they looked up, seeing the clouds and the rain. And then in all its splendor, they saw the rainbow. Why does he say that? Because he's been telling them all these verses since verse 1. This is what you're going to do. This is what's going on. And verse 17 says, and God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant. There it is. So when I looked at that, although it doesn't tell us that, but what a great picture that God lays out for them to grasp a hold of, right? Can you picture that for a moment? The clouds are coming. God's talking to them. They're looking at, listening to God. They're looking at the cloud. Wait a minute. This is familiar to us. It's raining again. What's going on? Lord, what are you doing? All of a sudden, this is the covenant. Boom, the rainbow's there. They must have just lost their minds. Why? Because they'd never seen that before. They didn't care of refraction and all this stuff that science tells you about. They're like, whoa, this is God's stinking promise to us right here. What more do you want? It's in living color. And I love that. God caused the rainbow because he says, Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I've established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth. What picture does God give you and I today of his great love for us? The cross. We look at that. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, the cross is offensive to man. That's why in San Diego, after 28 years of fighting in courts, they made him pull the cross down, said, oh, no, no, we made a mistake. Put it back up. Oh, it's offensive. Pull it back down. Oh, put it back up. So what happens? The guy goes and buys this, that area where the cross is on, saying, my land. I put up the cross. If it wasn't offensive to him, why would they embark to try to take it down? Because that is a picture of salvation, and they don't like it. Why? Because as we started the message, he has dealt with a rebellious people every day, and they want to do their own thing. And those of us who said, you know what, we saw this and we did that, that's the universal sign of surrender. I give up, God. I give up the way I've been doing things, and I want you now to do things in my life that I could follow you. Today, you and I have the promise of the return of Jesus. And that is what drives us to the finish line. So in essence, we have the cross and the rainbow to remind us of God's promise and God's faithfulness to us. No matter where we are in our circumstance, and we're going to go through circumstance. Let's just get that right on the shelf right now, or on the table, I should say. We're going to go through circumstances. But the key that we always have to remember is that we're going to go through them. We're not going to get stuck in them. Even if it lasts for the rest of our lives, we're going to get to the other side of it at the day of salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your rainbow, Lord. And pretty soon you're going to come back to take it back because it belongs to you. But Lord, I want to pray for those, Lord, even in my own family, Lord, who celebrate the rainbow, Lord, as this something that it's not, Lord. It's yours. And it's a covenant that you made. And my prayer, God, is that we, each and every one of us, would come to that place in our lives where we remember because of your faithfulness, Lord, to provide for us all that we have need of, Lord, that never again that we do we have to fear, Lord, that this world will ever be flooded, or God, that things that are beyond our control are still going to be taken care of, Lord, by you, because you are faithful, Lord. The best we can do is to come up with our own stuff, and we fall way short of that. And so, Lord, I ask today, Lord, that you would help us to remember, Lord, of your faithfulness to Noah and your faithfulness to us through Jesus, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.